please take your Bibles now, and if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll be in verses 8 through 12 this morning. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and throughout this Advent season, we've been working our way around the various candles of the Advent wreath. We saw that the first candle represents hope, the Advent candle of hope, that the second candle represents peace. And so today we come now to the third candle on the wreath. And you may have noticed that one of the outside candles on that Advent wreath over there, oh wow, one of the Advent candles took off like a rocket there. Look at that. Well, you'll notice this, the third candle back here is a different color, isn't it? It's pink. So we've got three purple, one pink. And that pink candle, that is the candle for the third Sunday of Advent. And it stands for joy. It represents joy. You might wonder, well, how is that? Most people think that pink candle is for the fourth Sunday. Well, the traditional reading for the third Sunday of Advent, we didn't do it this morning, but the traditional reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Which says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And as a result, the third Sunday of Advent was set aside as a special Sunday. There's a fancy name for it. It comes from the Latin, Gaudete Sunday, the Latin word for rejoice. And so as we've lit the third candle this morning, we are going to be looking at a number of scriptures this morning relating to Christmas and joy. But we're going to begin with these verses from Luke chapter 2. So will you please stand with me now for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we anticipate you speaking to us now through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us with the joy of Christmas as we meditate, as we reflect on these scriptures today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, one of the things that people love about Christmas is that it is truly a joyful season. All season long, we celebrate with music and song and lights and decorations. We celebrate by getting together with family and friends. We have Christmas parties. We exchange gifts. It is a joyful time of the year. But I can't help feeling sometimes that the world hijacks their joy in the season from the true joy that stands at the very center of Christmas. Because when you come right down to it, the real joy of Christmas doesn't come from the lights and the decorations and the music, but the real joy of Christmas comes from the meaning of Christmas. And at the heart of the Christmas story is the astoundingly good news that Jesus Christ was born as a Savior into this world. And from beginning to end, the Christmas story is punctuated with these various outbursts of and moments of joy. And we're going to look at a number of them this morning. And all of them center around the birth of Christ. And so you can't get away from it. You can't get around it. You can't spell Christmas without Christ. And you cannot enter into the true joy of the season without Jesus. And this morning, I want us to consider three truths about joy at Christmas. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out to follow along or to jot down some notes as we work through these. But three truths about joy at Christmas. Number one, that Jesus brings the joy of salvation. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus brings the joy of salvation at Christmas. Number two, that joy leads to proclamation. And number three, that joy leads to praise. And all three of these truths about joy, they're found right in the very scripture passages that tell us the Christmas story. And so all three of these truths together capture the true meaning of joy at Christmas. So let's get started now with the first one. Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Now, Jesus brings joy in so many areas of life. But the joy that is especially associated with Christ's birth at Christmas is the joy of salvation. Now, we already saw last week that Jesus' name, do you remember that? The meaning of Jesus' name, the name Jesus means what? It means salvation, right? And this week, I want us to look more closely now at the connection that the Bible makes between salvation, which is what Jesus' name means, between salvation and joy. For example, we could turn back to the Old Testament, we could turn to the Psalms, and we read David's prayer in Psalm 51, verse 12, where he prayed, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Now, David wrote this psalm after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And so David had sinned greatly against God, and yet he still understood, didn't he? He still understood the connection between salvation and joy. And so David repented of his sin. He asked God's forgiveness. And then even after great sin, he asked God to restore to him the joy of his salvation. We find the same connection between salvation and joy in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, where Isaiah writes, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." It's a beautiful image. And in this passage, in its context here in Isaiah, really chapters 11 and 12, Isaiah is prophesying about the second coming of Christ. And that's one of the things we've learned this Advent season, isn't it? That Advent is not simply about celebrating the first coming of Christ, that we're reminded of those who waited for the first coming, but it's also about us as we wait for the second coming, as we anticipate the second coming of Christ. Last week, we looked at Isaiah chapter 11. We saw that when Christ returns, last week was the Sunday of peace, right? When Christ returns, he will bring what? He will bring peace on earth. A peace that includes not only peace among the nations, but as we saw in Isaiah chapter 11, a peace that extends even to nature, into the animal kingdom. And now Isaiah follows up Isaiah chapter 11 with Isaiah chapter 12. And what's he doing? He's speaking of God's salvation and the joy that accompanies that salvation. What are these scripture passages telling us? And these are just a few. We could look at so many more. They're telling us that there is no true joy without salvation, and there is no true salvation without joy. The two go together, and they especially go together in those scriptures which tell us all about the Christmas story. So let's look at a number of those now. For example, we read in the Gospel of Luke how Mary, when she was pregnant with Jesus, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was also pregnant this time with John the Baptist. So we'll pick up the story now in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.'" I just love this scene. You know, Mary's traveled the distance now, and she enters the house, and she calls out, and as soon as Elizabeth just hears her voice, John the Baptist, remember, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit, not from birth, but from the womb. John the Baptist, who's filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, he just starts jumping around for joy inside Elizabeth's womb. That is so awesome. You wonder, well, why is he doing that? Why is John jumping around in there? Because as Elizabeth put it, Mary is the mother of her Lord. Did you see that? The mother of my Lord, Elizabeth says. Well, who is Lord? Well, the God of Israel was Lord. Who's in Mary's womb? Jesus is in her womb. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Mary was Jesus' mother. And John is in close proximity with Jesus, who had come to bring salvation for his people. John is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of who God is. Jesus is part of who God is. They come together. John's filled with the Holy Spirit, starts jumping for joy. It's part of the Christmas story. And it's awesome, and it's beautiful, and it's fun, and it's exciting. Another great example of Jesus bringing the joy of salvation is the wise men in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, the wise men, they also traveled a great distance just to see the Messiah, just to worship him. They'd seen his star when they were back in the east, but they didn't know exactly where he was supposed to be born. So they make a stop in Jerusalem along the way at the information center. They get hold of King Herod and say, where is he going to be born? And King Herod asks around. He finds out. And then we read in Matthew 2, verses 9 and 10, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen in the east, the star went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Why were they overjoyed? Not simply because they saw the star, but because the star had stopped and it showed them where the child was born. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah who had come to bring salvation to his people. And so they were filled with joy. You see, salvation and joy belong together. Jesus and joy belong together. Joy and Christmas belong together. Why? Because Jesus, our Savior, came at Christmas to bring us joy, and especially the joy of our salvation. So that's our first point this morning, is that Jesus brings joy, and especially, particularly, the joy of salvation. Okay, now secondly, joy leads to proclamation. Joy leads to proclamation. Jesus brings the joy of salvation into our lives, and then that joy leads us to share the good news about Jesus with others. And we find this truth demonstrated for us in the story of the angels and the shepherds. We looked at these verses earlier, right? Luke chapter 2. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, I want you to notice here that the news about Jesus' birth is not only news, it is good news. And it's not only good news, it is good news of joy. And it's not only good news of joy, it is good news of great joy. And it's not only good news of great joy, but it is good news of great joy for everyone, for all the people. Question, how will all the people know about this good news of great joy unless you and I share it with them? You see, we share good news with each other all the time, don't we? When something good happens in your life, we talk about it with our friends or at work or at school, right? We post it on Facebook. We're excited. It's good news. Now, when that good news is the birth of a child, we especially share it with others, don't we? We take pictures. We send out the birth announcements. We are filled with joy at the birth of our child, and that joy naturally leads to proclamation. We want everyone to know and share in our joy. Well, if we tell everyone about the birth of our own babies, how much more should we proclaim the birth of God's Son? Good news is for sharing. And there is no better news than the news that the angels shared with the shepherds that first Christmas Eve. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So what did the shepherds do after they received this good news of great joy that was for all the people? Let's find out. We pick up the story in Luke 2, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And so when the shepherds heard this good news of great joy that was for all the people, first they checked it out for themselves. They found everything just as the angel had told them. And then after that, what did they do? They spread the word to others. They spread the word far and wide. Why did they do that? Because good news is for sharing. And this was good news of great joy for everyone, and it would have been wrong for them to keep it to themselves. So that's our second point this morning. Joy leads to proclamation. So Jesus brings the joy of salvation. That joy leads to proclamation. We tell others about Christ. And then thirdly, number three, joy leads to praise. Joy leads to praise. And we find this truth demonstrated for us in two examples from the Christmas story. And the first example is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, after she hears those words of prophecy, we just looked at that, those words of prophecy from her cousin Elizabeth. After Elizabeth prophesies over Mary and the child that she is carrying, Mary is filled with joy and wonder, and her joy cannot be contained. And so then Mary bursts out in a word of prophecy as well, a word of song. Luke 1, verses 46 to 49, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." We often call this Mary's song or the Magnificat, as Mary magnifies the Lord, magnifies or glorifies the Lord for choosing her to be the mother of Jesus. Notice that her joy also has to do with what? With salvation, with the salvation that Jesus brings. Because Mary says, "My heart rejoices in who? In God, my Savior." She is filled with joy at God's goodness to her. And that joy that's in her heart, it just bubbles out, it just bubbles over into praise. And then we find this exact same pattern with the shepherds again. With the shepherds, once they returned, remember, they went out sharing the good news with everyone in the town. And then once they returned, what did they do? Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2, 20. You see, joy leads to proclamation. And so they went out and they spread the word about Jesus in his birth. But then joy also leads to praise. And so they returned glorifying and praising God. God chose them to be eyewitnesses to the birth of Christ. And trust me, they would never forget the things that they had heard and seen that night, which were just as they had been told. And so our third candle around the Advent wreath, the pink candle, the Advent candle of joy, reminds us of these three important truths of joy relating to Christmas. Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Joy leads to proclamation. Joy leads to praise. And these three aspects of joy at Christmas, these also become for us now our three application points. These are the application points for us as we respond to the message of joy found in God's word this morning. So let's look at these applications for us now. First of all, Jesus brings the joy of salvation. And so let me ask you this morning, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know the joy that comes from having Christ as your friend and having your sins forgiven? Do you know the joy of being restored to a right relationship with God through Christ the Savior? You know, the message that the angels gave to the shepherds that first Christmas night, it is just as applicable to you and me 2,000 years later, right here, right now. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, for you. A Savior has been born for you, and He is Christ the Lord. Remember, there is no true joy without salvation, and there is no true salvation without joy. Jesus is the reason for the season, and if you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, then you are missing out on the true joy of Christmas. Will you put your faith and your trust in Him today? That's our first application. Secondly, joy leads to proclamation. If you do know Jesus as your Savior, if you have been filled with the joy of that salvation, then you need to spread the word, because joy leads to proclamation. How many people have you told about Jesus this Christmas season? We're 3 weeks in, folks. How many people have you told about Jesus? You know, you don't need to be a trained theologian to share about Christ with other people. Just tell them that Christmas is all about the birth of Christ, who came to be our Savior. Just tell them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins so that they could be forgiven. Just tell them that Jesus rose from the dead and He is alive today. And tell them that Christ is coming back to bring peace on earth. Real simple, isn't it? Birth, death, resurrection, return. We can all share that, right? Because all four of those, that is all very good news. And remember, good news is for sharing. And so if you know Jesus as your Savior, then you know the joy of salvation. And joy leads to proclamation. And finally, our third application, joy leads to praise. Praise God every day for your salvation. Praise God for His amazing grace. Praise God for His great love in sending His Son, Jesus, to be your Savior. Praise Him for His goodness and kindness in forgiving your sins. Praise Him for the miracle of the incarnation at Christmas, that God the Son, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh and was born into our world as a little baby to be our Savior. Remember Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, we looked at earlier this morning. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Let me encourage you this morning, with great joy, draw great buckets of praise from the great reservoirs of blessing that God has given you in your salvation. Are you filled with joy this Christmas season? Because you should be, right? Because God is good, Christ has come, and salvation is yours for the asking. Christmas is all about joy, because joy comes from Jesus, and Christmas is all about Him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for this third Sunday in Advent, as we have this opportunity to look into Your Word and to see how joy is just intertwined with every aspect of the Christmas story. It's a joy that is intertwined in our salvation. It's a joy that is found only in Jesus Christ, born to be our Savior. Lord, I pray for each person here today. If there's anyone who does not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, would You touch their hearts today? Help them to pray that simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus is that Savior who was born for me. And Lord Jesus, I put my trust in You. Forgive me of my sin. Bring me into Your family. I believe in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.